Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettiner, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society, to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guest today is Alessandra Teixeira, who's from South America. We'll be talking about that, who is in several, well, two businesses in the Hamptons, one as a private tennis coach and the other as a partner with his wife in a tea company in Southampton that we will be talking about. Welcome to my podcast, sir.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you very much for having me. It's my pleasure. I appreciate it.
First of all, are you born and raised, and where was that?
Born and raised in Brazil. Born and raised in Brazil, yes.
And tell me a little bit about your growing up there and what you were interested in at the time.
Right. I come from a small town in the state of Minas Gerais. Minas Gerais is the second largest state in Brazil. However, my town is very, very small in the center of that state. And I, age 12, I approached my father and my dad, and I told him I wanted to become a tennis player. So I proposed that I would move away to a tennis facility, a tennis camp in Brasilia, the capital of Brazil. Which I had heard about a training center for junior athletes and as well as a school. So at the moment he thought that that proposal wasn't something that would be sustainable because at 12 years old he didn't think I would be able to hang in there and stay too long. But long story short, he quickly realized that I wasn't coming back. So he gave me the opportunity. He took me there. He set me up with this amazing facility, which at the time was an incredible tennis facility. Later became one of the nicest resorts in Brazil, housing all the politicians and everything. That was after my time there. But so I went and stayed for a year and a half. And from that point on, I kept moving on to other facilities throughout Brazil, searching for my opportunity to first become a junior tennis player and hopefully, anything else that I could achieve after that. So never went back. At 18 years old, I came to America. Actually, came to America a few times before to play junior tournaments. Some of them in New York, there was a famous tournament in Port Washington Academy. That was one of the best tournaments in the world. So I came to that tournament a few times, ended up here at 18 years old at a camp in Florida called Harry Hopman, one of the top camps at the time. And then decided that I was still focused on my tennis, moved to Europe for about 2 years to pursue the tennis as a player, as a professional player. I ended up number two in Brazil at the time as a junior. So I thought I had potential. I thought I had a chance. So after a year in the US, went to Europe for 2 years. I struggled that for about 2 years, barely eating because I had to eat to win to be able to eat. So 2 years of backpacking, two rackets, traveling, by train or whatever means I could find to get to the next tournament, being housed by families in France, in Spain, in Germany, all over the place. 2 years later, I got a call from a friend who I had met playing tennis, an American player. He said to me, "Alex, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm barely surviving right now. Why are you calling me?" Oh. He goes, "Well, I just became the head coach of a university in South Carolina. I'm looking for players and you're on top of my list. Do you want to come?" I said, "When? Just give me the date and I'm jumping on the plane." So long story short, I left Europe, came to South Carolina to college, basically to play tennis. And that relationship led me to the Hamptons.
Were you ever ranked? Did you ever play?
No, I was not. I was super successful as a junior, number two player in Brazil, one of the best players in the world as a junior, but I was not successful on the tour, on the professional tour in Europe. Won several tournaments in France and in Germany, but nothing, substantial to get me a high ranking.
You came to New York, and how is it connected up with the Hamptons?
Okay, so the coach that gave me that opportunity in South Carolina also was nice enough to give me a full scholarship, right? That was one of the agreements that I had to have a full scholarship if I wanted to come to America. And he recognized my potential. He thought I would be, a good asset for his team. So he gave me the scholarship, but I needed money to survive. So he said, "Alex, I'm going to give you a job in the summertime at this incredible place close to New York City. And you go there for the summer, you work as much as you can, and you come back with some money, and that's the money you're going to have to survive, in school." Sure enough, connected me with a club here in Southampton, a small club in Southampton, where he had a friend who was the head of director of tennis. So I took the job immediately, came here for the summer, worked way more than he warned me I was going to work, maybe 10, 12 hours a day on the court, teaching. Went back to college. I was probably the wealthiest, the richest kid in school, because at 19, I was making $40 an hour teaching tennis in the Hamptons and making all these connections. So I went from zero money to, a good amount of money as a kid, a freshman in college. So that was my connection to the Hamptons.
How did you come to meet Tatiana, who became your wife? And
wow, interesting story, Dan. When I graduated from college, I took a job working for one of my tennis clients here in the Hamptons. This guy named Jeff Himmel, private equity firm. He also owns consumer brands such as Ovaltine. Remember the Ovaltine chocolate milk, the Breck shampoo, all those, amazing brands. So I had been offered a job by Jeff, who I worked with for about 8 years in New York. But when I moved to New York after college, I had a very close friend in Brazil who said to me, "My brother is in New York and he's working for a bank. Here's his number. You call him when you get there. You'd have a reference. You have a friend in New York." Sure enough, I called the guy when I first got to New York. He would not return my call for about 3 months. And I would call his brother and say, "Hey, I tried to reach your brother, but he's not getting back to me." He said, "Oh, let me touch base and see what happened." So one day I get home and I turn on my answering machine. We still had answering machines back then. I turn it on and there was a voicemail from him. "Hey, Alex, I'm so sorry I never called you back. But I'm meeting some people, some friends in the village tonight." This was Friday night. "Would you like to join us?" And I was like, wondering, why didn't this guy call me for 3 months? But now he's inviting me to dinner or something, right? So, but I was intrigued about the invitation. I said, "Okay, I'll take it." I had nothing else to do. So I took a cab down to the village. I walk into this restaurant on McDougal and Blicka or something. It's still there, by the way. I was looking around, couldn't really find him. And all of a sudden I turned the corner. He's sitting on a table with 10 beautiful Brazilian girls. And I said, "Okay, so that's why you're not calling me for the last 3 months." Anyway, that's where I met Tatiana.
And,
yeah.
What was she doing at that time?
She was sort of like in this similar career path as myself. She was a classical ballet dancer for most of her life, let's put it this way, since 7 years old. She was in New York to dance. She was working for companies, and she was at that time she was actually starting her own company. She had an audition for all the top ballet companies in the city, classical and modern, and would get to the final round of like five girls, and they realized that she didn't have a green card or she wasn't a citizen for sure. and she would be turned away by this incredible companies due to that detail of not having the permits to work. So she ended up starting her own company with a French choreographer, and worked on that for about 2.5 years until she had a very serious ACL injury. She was dancing or teaching, actually, and fell and ruptured her ACL, which it was a turning key in her life and her career, which led us to the tea business. So
tell me about the tea business and what it does, and where is it located?
Okay, so right now, currently, we're located on 87 Powell Avenue, P-O-W-E-L Avenue, which is the avenue of the train station in Southampton.
It's part of the old, it's a barn, part of the old lumberyard.
Actually, this building then, very interesting, it was an ice factory. Barkarski or something like that. I can't pronounce the name, but it was an ice plant. And the space that we have, say that again?
Probably for the whole town back then.
Right. Yeah. Very interesting building, very huge property. And we have the space that we have, which is 2,200 square feet, is where the bags, the ice were stored prior to getting loaded onto the trucks, which it's quite an interesting building. It's high ceilings and brick walls and for insulation, and it's an interesting place. So that's where we are now. But the company was started in New York when Tatiana was transitioning from her ballet career and decided that she was going to, no longer perform, partially because of the injury, but also because it was a time to change. We had our first child already. We have two girls. 20 years old, who's at she's a junior at Duke University right now, and the second, 15-year-old, decided to move to Brazil a year ago, and that's a whole other story. But which we're dealing with right now. By the way, Tatiana is in Brazil taking care of that situation, but it's all good. But Tatiana had been a fan of tea growing up, also using teas for her health in general due to her career. She tells me that professional ballerinas are very, very unhealthy, which it came by surprise to me. I thought these would be the healthiest people in the world, right, for what they do, but completely the opposite with consumption of excessive coffee and smoke and all the things that would help them stay thin or whatever, or deal or cope with the stress of the profession that they had. So she used tea growing up and knew enough about tea and enjoyed teas around the world while she was traveling. And when the change of career took place, she was searching for an opportunity to open a business. She went to business school in Brazil always wanted to own a business. So she was searching for something to do in terms of business and wanted to do something that she had benefited from and could benefit others. And she was more and more into tea, actually used green tea as a recommendation by a doctor to not to resolve, but to postpone a vein surgery, a vein issue that she had in her leg due to the ballet career. And basically was able to postpone a surgery for 5-6 years with the usage of tea. So she greatly benefited from tea herself and started looking into the tea industry in America, started to look at the market, what's available, what's not available. And 17 years ago, which is when she started this process, there was nothing happening in terms of premium tea in the US. It was all the commercial brands such as Lipton, Twinings, all these brands that were sold in grocery stores, but very, very little premium, whole leaf teas in the market at that time. We then went to a trade show in Rhode Island. I went with her. There were literally 10 companies, small little companies, startup companies, and one magazine, somebody trying to start a magazine at that time. In our days, one of those shows it takes place in Las Vegas, and you need more than a day to walk the show. because the growth of the market has been so, incredible.
Showroom here then?
Sorry?
You have a showroom in Southampton.
Exactly. So the company was started in New York, and now we're here in Southampton at a showroom, correct?
What's the name of the company, and is there a sign there?
Yes, absolutely. There's a big orange sign, and the name is Plaint, P-L-A-T, just the letter T. And the website is plain-t.com.
I see. And what's going on there in the showroom?
A lot. We have about 80 plus different types of teas from all over the world. There are over 3,000 different types of teas produced around the world from a single plant called Camellia sinensis, is the scientific name of the plant. It produces four categories: black, oolong, green, and white. So we have 80 different types of teas from China, Japan, India, Sri Lanka, South Africa, and Egypt. So we bring them all in bulk to our facility here, and we pack them according to each of our clientele, right? The restaurants, the hotels, the coffee shops. Some would work with the loose leaf teas. Others want the sachets, the bag, the little bag. And then we have iced teas. We have a whole line, beautiful iced teas. The matcha, the chai, and a beautiful line of accessories also and gifts. So all of that happens in this location here, where we have an area of the space which is dedicated to the production area, right? Where the products are stored, everything is produced there, everything gets shipped from that space. And then we have the bigger area where is the showroom and an office. So in the showroom, prior to the COVID situation, we had a lot of events here. We had groups of people, 40, 50, 60 people coming from all over, Long Island and New York for tea tastings. And we call it tea tasting and learning experiences, right? Where we would, serve them a certain amount of teas and pair with food. And so we had a lot of that going on. Also, all kinds of events here in terms of, we were very involved with the community then help the community as much as we can. So we used to host a lot of fundraisers here. We had a lot of art openings here with local artists. So we tried to keep very busy here with the space.
And it's retail sales and wholesale. Is that
right? So the wholesale, it's what I described, the accounts, the restaurants, the hotels, it gets shipped to them via UPS. The truck comes in every day, and the retail is available here. People come walking all the time to purchase small items, to purchase the gifts and everything. And we also have a website, the website that's our direct sales to the consumer, that's doing extremely well. It's the plain-t.com.
Do you have a tasting situation where?
Yeah, so the tasting is normally done by appointment, right? So yes, we very much welcome that. We had that a lot, and we're doing it again. But we do ask for people to sort of like reserve the time and book the time ahead of time, just so we are, we're organized, we're planned, we're ready for the tasting. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, and they would do that on website or by phone?
By phone, website, or email.
What's the phone number?
631-251-6316. That's where they can reach us.
So people can become clients and purchase the tea there. That's
absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Met you at a private home where you were teaching tennis. And mm-hmm. So you've continued with that as a second.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I have tried to give that up several times, but these people won't let me go. I said, can you play with a friend of mine? No. We want you there, Alex. just joking. I have to, the relationship that I developed with some of these families, because what happened then the first year that I was here, that I worked for a club, I was teaching this family and they liked my services. They liked me, whatever happened, I don't know, but they hired me to work with them the following summer. So I came back now working privately already in the second season for two local families from Southampton. So from that point on, I just got introduced to other families and I built my network. But we're talking about, 20 something years ago. So my relationship with them is way beyond tennis. It became a friendship, and it's just I love the ones. I have to tell you, I cut off a lot of fat. There's a lot of people that I didn't like and I didn't want to deal with on the court or off the court. So I don't have time for you. But the ones that I do have time for and I enjoy, I'm there whenever they want me. And I love working with them.
What do you like about the Hamptons?
Wow, unique bubble here we are, huh? Especially in our days where the crazy world, I think we're somewhat safe here and protected. But I fell in love with the first time I was here. First of all, back then, 18 years old, I was at the tennis court during the day and at the bars and the nightclubs during the night until 4 a.m. And I would faint about three times, a week because my body was so dehydrated. So that was, my first attraction to the Hamptons. But the lifestyle here is great. We literally moved from New York City when Tatiana started the company. And I told you I was working for a private equity firm. That firm coincidentally was sold. Jeffrey sold the company. And I moved out here with my family for that reason, just to be able to have this lifestyle in the Hamptons. My two kids went to school in East Hampton at Ross School. They had a great time there. So I couldn't imagine living any other place.
Thank you for being on the podcast. I enjoyed this a lot. And
thank you so much.
Definitely stop by.
I look forward to seeing you here. Thank you, Dan. Sure. Thank you.